Welcome everybody to episode 4 of Josh Jane Live. It's so cool to be back. Last week I was kind of missing in action, and this week we did a little substitution in which Neil is now not available today. But not to worry, we got an excellent and amazing new personnel on the team, and I'm going to introduce her right after the title sequence. Let's go. Is that the wrong word?
That was great. Perfect.
What if a church actually took God at his word?
Where every member felt a part of something eternal. And no matter who you were, where you were from, or what you'd done, you knew you had a part to play in something bigger than yourself. Where the Bible wasn't just a suggestion, but was our blueprint for everything we did, even the controversial parts. And those who led did so by being willing to sit on the floor first when there weren't enough chairs for everyone else. Where we didn't follow a clock or a genre or a cultural movement, we followed the Holy Spirit even when no one else did. And when we spoke about family, we actually lived it, with relationships that were loving, raw, and messy. Where miracles still happened, prophecies still flowed, signs and wonders followed, and the poor were welcomed with open arms. And above all else, when you walked into our midst, you couldn't help but meet the person of Jesus. We're not there yet, but this is our dream. Welcome to Josh Jane Live.
All right, guys, welcome. And we are on Josh Jane Live, and today we got Danny here with me.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome, Danny. Welcome
Thanks.
To the team.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I'm part of the team now.
Yeah, I think you are. I mean, you've made such a good impression so far, just with your smile and just being here.
This is
amazing.
A nervous smile.
Really?
No, I feel like my smile gets bigger, the more nervous I get.
Trust me.
I just look like
I'm just as nervous as you are. I am. I know I seem like a natural, guys. Nobody do it like me. But it's just amazing to be with you guys. Welcome from wherever you're watching,
yeah.
All over the world.
Who is tuning? Where are you guys from? Just, I've never done this, I've always wanted to do this, but drop it in the comments below.
Exactly. Please, guys, let us know where you guys are watching from, actually. And, yeah, so, Danny, tell us, how did you actually get onto Josh Jane Live?
I don't know if everyone will know, but I was able to be part of this, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yes,
on the first
you
artist
didn't actually mention
which is
that.
So cool.
Yeah.
And I'm such a fangirl. So, like, I walked on this morning and I was like, it's an actual set, and they're, like, camera people. So Neil is sick. Neil has a throat thing.
Yeah, sore throat, yeah.
So now it's like, if you're sick, it's like...
You're
excommunicated from the...
Exactly.
Then Howie was like, Danny, what are you doing? Do you want to just come in and, like, present? And I was like, yes. Like, you know when you're so excited, but you're also so nervous and terrified at the same time. And then, yeah, I was like, this is so cool. So it's really nice to be here.
Yeah.
Especially because you're doing such a good job.
Oh, thanks so much. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, that guys? I'm
doing such a celebrity.
See, I mean, they were mentioning that I was intimidated by... Andrew Saley, but turns out I still got the juice. Nobody do it like me. Also, we've been so excited to be back in our venues and meeting together as congregations, and it's been cool. There's this video going around of everybody jiving and dancing, just in the joy of what Jesus is doing. Check it out. God has been doing so many good things in Josh Jane Live. Danny, please tell us some of the things that have been happening.
Yeah, so about 2 weeks ago, the team prayed for 5 salvations.
Yeah.
And then over the course of the weeks, just people kept getting added on to the salvation. So last week there were 4, and this morning we found out that the 5th person had given their life to the Lord. So that's flipping amazing. So incredible and so exciting. And I think what I really like about it, and what the team was chatting about earlier, was that we're asking God for specific things, you know, like really specific.
Exactly.
And
so
I
cool.
love that about the Lord.
Speaking of sharing the gospel, Brett actually has a cool testimony where during the week he got an opportunity to share the gospel with someone in person. And we're actually going to cut across to that now and hear what Brett has to say about what happened.
So I was inspired by hearing the guys in Greenpoint having worship on the promenade, and as salvation happened through that, and a man came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so I was asking God last week that he would use me in a similar way. Obviously, I can't sing. So I was in a meeting in a coffee shop, and our waiter was an amazing young guy, and it was really fun, and we had a really great time. But every time he came towards me, the Lord showed me a label on over him saying he was worried about something. And so right at the end, when I got the check, I decided to give him a big tip, and that obviously drew him into the table. And then I said to him, "Hey man, can I just ask you a strange question?" And he said, "Yeah," a little bit confused. I said, "Look, I believe in Jesus, and sometimes he uses me to speak into people's lives. Do you mind if I ask you a question?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "I just see like worry on you. Are you worried about a family member that's sick?" And he said, "Yeah." You could check his eyes were like big, and it was a little bit freaky for him. And I just said, "Look, I don't know if you know and believe in Jesus." And he said, "Look, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus." I said, "Well, I believe in Jesus, and he's done an amazing thing for me. And he wants to give you hope. He wants to give you that peace that you're lacking right now. So can I pray for you?" And so I did that. And it was an amazing time of us praying together in this coffee shop, and everybody's kind of looking at us. And I could check he was a little bit uncertain. But right at the end of the prayer, he just did this big, and I could check the peace of God come upon him. And then I said to him, "I'm trusting that Jesus is going to reveal himself to him through this week and the next. And so I'm going to go back there and have another meeting there pretty soon, and just trusting that God will continue to bring that young guy into his kingdom." And so I was inspired by doing that. And we want to inspire you to share the good news, the hope, the faith, the love with people around you. Maybe it's on the street corners or in the malls or getting petrol, or wherever it is, that you will take the kingdom of God to those people in your neighborhoods.
Thanks, Brett. So Danny, right now we are going to be cutting across to your EDC chat with Will, and you're going to find out what he's carrying with him every day. And we've been learning a lot about what Jesus expects us to be carrying in our spiritual backpacks.
Can I say what they are?
Yes, please.
Okay, so it's love, faith, Jesus, and
today,
hope.
There we go.
So I guess Will's already in the building, so I'm just going to go and get him and do the everyday carry.
Yes.
See you guys now.
All right. All right.
Yeah, we finally got Will here, and we're really excited to chat to him about... Thanks.
I know. It would be from vooraf. And D? Okay. Then I... But you all pick it up in the thing and go...
Okay, hi everybody. We've got Will here. Welcome, Will. Is this your first time on Josh Jane Live?
Not on Josh Jane Live, but definitely first time here in this environment.
Yeah, doing these things.
Wild characters.
First I know, time. They're crazy. They're crazy. But it's fine. It's fine. We're going to keep it really normal here. Today we're going to do a bit of, what's the segment called again? Everyday Carry. It's called Everyday Carry. And basically, we're just going to try and get to know you as a person and sort of judge you, but not really. So you've already got something on the table.
Okay, this is my my man bag, and I have all I need in it. I try to give one to Mervis. He, although he's played rugby, he hasn't quite got to carrying a little thing yet.
What do you wait? What do you mean rugby? Why rugby carrying a thing? What does that mean?
Guys who have been in very active man sports have a problem carrying something.
Okay.
Of course, my wallet. Keep my wallet. Then my spectacles for reading.
Okay.
My phone.
Wait. Who's your...
My son, Rod.
Okay, cool.
But he went to be with the Lord a few days before his 21st birthday.
I'm sorry.
So every morning I say, "How's it, my pal? See you shortly." Not too shortly. One of the items that I carry around with me daily is this little knife.
Okay.
It's, you know, it does its job, and
it's like a proper Swiss Army knife.
It is. It's a miniature Swiss Army knife, believe it or not. Warranted, guaranteed, okay. And yeah.
Okay, what do you use that for? Because last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, I think, yeah. Andrew was here and he had an apparently bigger, better knife. What, you know, I don't know anything about knives, but...
Well, some guys need bigger knives than others.
I mean, yeah.
But I just use this knife, believe it or not, for biltong. Very sharp little knife.
I mean, look... Biltong is a priority in South Africa, so I don't know
Absolutely.
Why we don't all carry little biltong knives.
And then, of course, I have a pen in there, which I haven't used. I always keep this for customs. And obviously, as you know, I haven't been to customs. I keep these for sinus. So going up and down with all the flights, I find these are phenomenal.
How often did you used to fly?
Well, Danny, last year, I was 7 months. Out of South Africa, flying around,
wow.
Meeting churches, and so,
oh, wow.
And church leaders, and equipping church leaders.
What are some of the places that you went to, or like memorable places that you saw?
Well, if COVID hadn't have kicked in, oh. I was actually due to go now to, firstly to St. Petersburg, and then Moscow, to Indonesia.
What?
Yes, we have 29 churches now partnering. And then from there to Perth, Australia, Adelaide, Australia,
so cool.
And then up to the UK with Andrew,
oh,
to
man.
Do the meetings. So that would have been up till now, from the beginning, say 10 weeks, 11 weeks. But the Lord is doing such a work amongst
yeah.
churches. Just to close off, these here are peppermints. Not for me, for my grandson.
Oh,
so
cute.
Every time I arrive at his home, he goes... He knows, peppermint.
How old is he now?
He's turning 2 next month.
Sweet! What's his name?
A month and a half. His name, they named after my son, Roderick Paul.
Really?
Yeah, so the peppermints are for him. So folks, this is what I keep in my bag.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. And you're going to be chatting to us a little bit later about another amazing thing that we have to be carrying with us all the time, and that's hope. So,
hope, yes.
So yeah, let's just cut across to Will as he shares a little bit more about hope.
All right, hi folks. It's great to be with you today. I've got the privilege of sharing with you on the subject of hope. I believe last week Jeff shared a wonderful word on faith, and believe it or not, faith and hope go together. And I know there's faith, hope, and love, but I just want to share something with you that has become a great truth to me in my journey through life. That has been a great help to me as well. Now, I know there are some of you possibly out there listening to this today, who have had certain disappointments in life. Maybe you've had quite a few disappointments. You got to a point where you are not sure if you actually have hope. Well, I want to address that this morning. I want to look at that in the reality of what we've been given. Now, I want you to know that I only came to experience what can be called a measure of hope in my early 20s, when I had a radical change in life, when I came to the Lord. I was totally unchurched. I had bags and loads of pleasure, but I had no peace. And as a result, no peace, I had no hope. And so I would go from one day to the next, and I was laughing on the outside, but there was tremendous uncertainty on the inside. But by virtue of that which God's word speaks to us about, and Paul picks it up in his letters to all the churches, and he ties 3 words together again and again and again, and it's faith, hope, and love. And yet we find in his letter to the church at Rome, in chapter 15, verse 13, he says these words, "And now may the God of hope," isn't that interesting? "And now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace
in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. The God of hope wants us to be a people who abound in hope. That's very interesting. And what we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 as well, Paul writes to this church that's done a great thing for God. And he says to them, I want to congratulate you. I want to celebrate your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope. And by saying that, he was actually making a point. He was saying that sometimes we have to stay in there. We have to keep on keeping on so that the hope can become realized in our lives. And Jesus in Luke's gospel, he knew this as well. He had to have a hope that kept him going. And it says, for that hope and that joy that was set before him, he endured, he persevered. And yeah, he says to his disciples in Luke 18, verse 1, I don't ever want you to lose heart. I don't want you to give up hope. And then he goes on to tell a story, which we're not going to be going to this morning, that specifically deals with hope. And the key that Jesus had time and again in all of his teaching was perseverance, hope, overcoming. And so he writes to the churches in Revelation. He says as well, to those who overcome, to those who persevere, to those who break through, to those who don't allow their hope to be smashed, to be destroyed, I have a reward for you. Don't lose heart. Don't give up hope. But Solomon, who we know as the man who had great wisdom, he wrote in the book of Proverbs chapter 13, 12, that when we lose heart, we lose hope. And when something doesn't materialize, and I'm sure there are many of you out there, you've been hoping for things in your life. But when things don't materialize and time comes and time goes by, that you start to lose heart. And it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And that's so true. That's so often the case. But maybe here today, you've been trusting God for a long time for something and nothing. But you've been trusting and nothing. Maybe you've been trusting God for healing and nothing. Maybe for financial breakthrough, nothing. Maybe you're trusting God, you've had hope for a job, nothing. Maybe for your business. Your business is going through a serious time and you've had hope and hope for breakthrough, still nothing. And maybe it's been your marriage. Maybe your marriage has been in a very bad way. And you as a believer, you've been trusting God for God to do something. You've had hope that God will do something in the life of your spouse. Nothing. Your children. Nothing. Maybe even for salvation, for a loved one. Still nothing. But as time has gone by, when this happens, our spiritual battery, it weakens. I want to speak in a real context here, without over-spiritualizing. But when our spiritual battery weakens, we realize that we're still sick. We're still broke. We're still without that need being met. We're still struggling with depression. We still have anxiety. We still feel that we don't know if we can keep on going anymore. We start to lose heart because hope deferred, it makes the heart sick. And I want to say to you this today that I'm about to tell you something. And I want you just to take hold of what I'm saying that has changed my attitude to life. And I know that it has the potential to change your life as well. It's this. What you've experienced isn't a desertion of your faith. In actual fact, that has nothing to do with your faith. It's a breakdown of your hope. And that's something we need to realize. The problem is that most believers don't give much attention to hope. So much is focused on faith. But I want us to know that as Paul teaches in all his epistles, faith and hope, they go together. We need to always keep them together. And the fact is, your faith won't work without hope. And I want us just to see this in God's word. It says in Hebrews 11, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now faith is the guarantee. So faith is the assurance, the down payment of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What it tells me is that my faith and my hope have to work together. Because without hope being there, we don't need faith, which I want us to see in a moment. And yeah, it says in Hebrews 11:6, that Paul, the writer of the Hebrews, says in Hebrews chapter 11, 6, remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, it's interesting. I have faith as a down payment. Faith is something that I'm going to use to realize my hope. But if I don't have hope, I don't need anything to realize it. I don't need faith. And without faith, I can't please God. And so there's something that I need to put together here. And to every one of you listening to this message, it's very important that wherever you are right now, you have a hope. Please hear me. You have a hope. You have something in your mind. You have something in your heart. And because it's in your mind and it's in your heart, it's going to fill your words. Because it says, as a man thinks, so is he in his heart. And out of his heart, his mouth is going to speak. It's got to speak life. It's got to speak hope. It's got to speak something that it's taken hold of, that it's believing God for. And as we allow this to become a reality, we allow what God has given to us to realize this. This that's called faith, to make it a reality. And the fact that you are filled with hope is very, very important. And so I want to ask you again today, what is your hope? What fills your mind? What fills your heart? What's filling your spirit? I'm hoping there is something. I'm hoping that you haven't given up. I've met many folks in the life of the church. They're still in the faith, but they're no longer in the fight. They're no longer expecting something from God. They've no longer got something that they're hoping for in their mind, that they're filling their heart with, that they're speaking out, because that thing hasn't been realized. They've been trusting God for that for a long time, but hope deferred has made your heart sick. I want to rekindle that here this morning. And I'm asking this question of you about what is in your mind, what is in your heart, what are you speaking? Because hope is the blueprint of your faith. That's what we read in Hebrews 11:1. Hope is the blueprint of your faith. If you don't have hope, you don't need faith. Keep that in mind. And without faith, we can't please God. I've got to have hope to make faith a reality. I've got to have hope to allow the blueprint for my faith not to lose what God has for it. Because when I lose hope, as I've said, I lose heart. When I lose heart, I lose the mental image that's necessary for me to focus in on what God wants me to take hold of. So it's no longer in my mind. It's no longer in my thoughts. If it's no longer in my mind and in my thoughts, it's not in my heart. If it's not in my heart, I'm not believing God for it. If I'm not believing God for it, I'm not speaking. And it says, hold fast to the word of your confession. There's a need for me to always sustain hope. So remember what Paul said, Thessalonians chapter 1, 3. He says, I want to congratulate you, you church in Thessalonica. I want to celebrate where you are because of your labor of love, because of your work of faith, because of your steadfastness of hope. And that keeps coming out. And because faith is the substance, as we read, of what I hope for. It's the substance of what I hope for. When I lose hope, it's obvious that my faith loses its aim. My aim that I so desperately need. When I lose hope, my faith has got nothing to focus in on. And it's like a bow and an arrow. I've got the arrow, I've got the bow, but there's no target. I don't know what I'm aiming at. And so we're going to see James speaks about that in a moment. But when I lose hope, as I've said, my faith loses its aim. And when I lose hope, my faith no longer has a mission to accomplish. I mean, what do you need faith for if you haven't got hope? Because faith is the substance of things hopeful. I've got this that I want to aim and I want to fulfill something that God wants me to take hold of because that's why he's taken hold of me. But I don't have a hope. I don't have a target. And this is why hope is so important for us in life. Hope is the substance. As I've said, faith is the arrow. Hope is the target. If I don't have a target, what am I aiming my faith at? And that's why James says in James 1:6, it's interesting. He says, your faith, it's set on hope before you. He says, you must set your faith on hope before you. If your faith is without hope, you are as one tossed about in unbelief. You're fighting the elements. You're trying to bring about something that you aren't aiming at. You're not focusing in on. And it's very important for us to realize this. And I want to say many times in my own life, I've had to rekindle hope. I think of Jesus coming to that man at the pool of Bethesda. And he says to the guy, "What can I do for you?" And it's obvious the guy's lost hope. And instead of speaking provision, hope, he speaks the problem. So you know that if most of what comes out of your mouth is the problem, you've lost hope. There's no target for your faith to aim at. I'm not speaking God's provision anymore. I've given up on God's provision because I've been in the same place for a long time. And this guy, I mean, in all reality, he had been there for a long time. He says to Jesus, "I've been here what seems like forever." Jesus says, "What can I do for you?" He said, "Listen, forget about what you could do for me. Let me tell you my problem. An angel comes once a year and stirs the water. I was always filled with hope that one day I'm going to get in there. The first one in gets healed." He says, "People come in." He says, "I can't be the first one in. I'm lame." And so people dive into the pool and they get healed. Then Jesus says to him, "I'm not asking what your problem is. I'm asking what I can do for you. I want you to rekindle hope." And I want to say that, as mentioned in my own life, there have been times when I've almost lost hope. I've almost lost heart. Now being 42 years in the ministry, there have been many times when I've had to come back to the Lord. I've had to rekindle that hope. And when it speaks of steadfastness of hope, yes, a work of faith, a labor of love, but steadfastness of hope, that's the thing we need to take hold of. That's what we've got to trust God for. And I haven't seen it today. I didn't see it yesterday. I've been trusting God for many weeks before today, many months maybe before today, and nothing has materialized. But I know, Paul the Apostle says, "In whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that my God will be faithful," because he's a God of hope. That's what we read. Remember, right here in Romans 15:13, "And now may the God of hope, fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you too may abound in hope." I'll just close with this. I've got many stories over these 42 years of where I've had to trust God, where God has given me something through his word, and I know that his word is living and it's active, but I've had to process things with God. And part of what I had to process at the one time, I remember in Natal, and I'm sure some of you have heard the story before, where I was trusting the Lord for finance to put the church building up. As this building that I'm in now, we had to trust God. I had to trust God. This was the fifth church plant for the same thing, but it was different. In that context, years back, I had to trust the Lord for finance to put a building up in Natal for the life of the church. Bought the land, I wanted to put the building up. And as time went on and on and on, I realized I was starting to lose heart. And a friend of mine in East London wanted to build the largest restaurant in South Africa, which they did in East London, on top of an enormous new shopping complex. And he asked if I'd be interested to come and take the job. You know, I was at a point in my life where I thought, this thing isn't working anymore. Maybe I've done what I needed to do for the kingdom. And we start to rationalize. And we'll cut a long story short. It came to a point where I felt I was losing heart and I had to go before God. And one can think, well, this is an alternative. Meanwhile, it's the devil's alternative. And he wants to take you off what God has for you, because God wants you to give birth to something through faith with hope. And so I can remember sitting on the front porch, and I'd ordered those bricks for the building. I had no money. We didn't have 10 rand in the church account. We had no money. But I knew God had spoken. Throughout that whole week, in my quiet time passages through the week, God had reassured me. And I knew this was God. But I also knew I had to take a step of faith. But I had to keep my hope out there. I always saw the building that I wanted to build. Every morning when I came before the Lord. And so I sat on the porch. It was a large English home, and I'd bought the hectare of land next to it that I was going to put the church building up on. And of course, the truck arrived, a double trailer, enormous horse and trailer, with all these pallets of Kelsey face bricks, with a crane, was lifting them off. packing them next to the vehicle on the side of the road, and I had no money to pay for this because it was a cash on delivery. And so while I sat there, I realized it was a cool day, but I was perspiring. I thought, well, this isn't a good sign. And I said to the Lord, Lord, you've got to come through. And just with that, an old lady came driving in, an old Peugeot 504. I knew the rings had long gone. That was just a smoky little vehicle. Pulled up in front of me, got out. She was a member of the Dutch Reformed Church. Wasn't even in the congregation. Came and brought me a brown paper packet full of 10 rand notes packed together. And I could see they were old notes. And she must have kept them somewhere under her bed or somewhere. And she brought me them. She said, the Lord said, I must bring this to you this morning. It's for the building. Well, I could have nearly kissed that lady. And I said, well, listen, we need to count this first. No, 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 she said, if you don't do what the Lord says you must do with that, I think the Lord will speak to you. So anyway, off she drove in her vehicle. I snuck out the back, got into the car, shot off to the bank. It was a Saturday morning. Got the money into the account, got a bank guaranteed check, raced back to the house. And as he was taking the last pallet off, I casually walked up to him, thanked him, gave him the bank guaranteed check. And off he drove. He didn't know what I'd gone through sitting on the porch. And I remember saying in my heart to the Lord, Lord, why do you do that? Why couldn't you have done it and provided before? As if the Holy Spirit said to me, did you need it before? I said, Lord, I didn't, but it could have been a lot better if you did. And you know, sometimes we need to trust God on His word, to His word, whether it comes through or not. But you know that passage that I read here, it says, and now may the God of hope, Romans 15, fill you with all joy and peace in contentment. I want to say that contentment doesn't come from getting what you want. It's having the ability in God to enjoy what you have while you wait for what you want, whether you get it or not. But then to close off with this other story, my daughter came in this church plant and she said to me, Daddy, you know, I've been speaking to you for quite a while, but I would love to go to the United States to go up the Statue of Liberty. Don't know where, you know, most kids want to go down to Florida, you know, want to go into Disney World, Disneyland. No, she wants to go to the Statue of Liberty. And I said, you know, Law, my eldest daughter now on the Isle of Man, involved in the church, partnering church there with 412, I said to her, she was 11 years of age. She now has four children of her own. Her eldest is 21 years of age. But I said to her, you know, we're busy planting this church and we need all the finance we can get. But God's word says, if we seek first the kingdom, He'll add these other things. And I said, is this your heart's hope? Is it your hope? And she said, yes. I said, come, let's pray together. And we prayed together. 2 weeks later, or just over 2 weeks later, I was in the Transvaal, the old Transvaal. I was in Johannesburg, actually, at Four Ways. And I was helping another church in an apostolic sense, even then. And Pam, my wife, phoned and she said, you know, a lady has phoned me and she's asked if you could come and see her. I said, well, who is this lady? What's it about? She said, it's a strange phone call, but it's to do with our daughter, Laura. I said, oh, well, all right. I said, can you give me her address? And lo and behold, it was about a kilometer up the road from where we were in Four Ways in Johannesburg. So I went to see her. And when I arrived, it was a Montessori school, and she was the principal of the school. And she said, you know, not only am I the principal of the school, but I work for the Department of Foreign Affairs. I said, oh, that's nice. She said, I don't know if you heard of Mr. Puk Buerta. I said, of course I know Puk Buerta. He's the Minister of Foreign Affairs. She said, that's right. She said, well, we now are trying to get back in to the United Nations. We've been excluded as a country. Will you be willing for me to take your daughter to America to address the United Nations? I said, I beg your pardon? She said, my daughter is 11 years of age. She said, well, we really need your daughter. I saw your daughter 2 weeks ago at a school in Natal, and I knew that's the girl that we've got to have to go to America. You know, folks, I want you to know we were in a little town in Natal, busy building a church, caught up with so many things that I believe God had put in my heart. But my daughter had a hope. She had a faith in God, and she focused that faith on that hope. Well, let me tell you, about 2 weeks later, I'm at Johannesburg International Airport waving my daughter goodbye with this woman who au-paired her to first to Europe to address the EU and then to the United Nations in America, in New York, and she went up the Statue of Liberty. You know, when she came back, I realized that God had done something for her because of the fulfillment of hope. She didn't give up on her hope. We trusted God for that hope. Now, I don't know where you are today, but what I do know is our God is a God of hope. He's a God of new things. He's a God of new beginnings. He's a God who loves you. He's a God who has plans for you. He's a God who, I can tell you many, many, many stories, but they're my stories. God wants to create stories in your life. He wants to give you hope so that you can aim your faith at it. He wants to fill that blueprint, put that blueprint in your mind, that you can fill your mind, fill your heart with it, that you can speak it. Not loosely, not frivolously, but that you can speak it because God has given it to you. That it's become your hope. You hold fast to that hope. God wants to watch over that hope and He wants to perform it. That's what His word says. So if there's somebody out there, and like me, you never had a hope. You're involved in so many things in life. Maybe you've had pleasure and you're tired of pleasure, as I was in my early 20s, and you've never known peace. Well, our God's a God of peace, and He's a God of hope. And He wants to meet you so that He can reveal His love to you and His hope and His peace. God, would He bless you, encourage you, and I'm trusting that you would again rekindle your hope. Even though weeks and months, maybe years have gone by, you come back to the Lord, say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you in this. I'm going to fill my mind again with hope. It's going to be the target, and I'm going to aim my faith at it and keep on keeping on until that which needs to be realized will be realized by you. Well, folks, God, would He bless you. And I'm trusting that you will keep on keeping on and allow God to fulfill that need that's in your own heart and life. Thank you so much.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. We hope you found something to connect to, and wherever you are in the world, especially this message of hope. I know personally, as I was listening to Will preach, I felt like he was speaking directly to me. And if you're feeling that way as well, if you're feeling like this message just hit you right where you live, we want you to know that you are part of a family of people that care about you, that love you, no matter who you are, no matter where you are in the world, no matter what's happening in your life. We're here for you, and we want to encourage you to please, please, please reach out to us. There's a number on the screen, so please get in touch. Just pop us a message. It'll take a second, and we'll be there for you, just the way that Jesus is. And just hold on to hope. It's real. It's still there. Jesus is present in your life, and He loves you so, so much. So please reach out to us, trust Him. Trust Jesus. Take that step. And His arms are just ready for you to walk straight into them. So if you're feeling in your heart like you want to give your life to Jesus right now, then join me and let's pray together. It's really simple. So you can just repeat after me if you're feeling led. So Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you that you see me. Thank you that you know me. Thank you that you died for me, Lord. Father, I just repent of my sin. I repent of turning away from you. And I choose you now. I give my life to you, Lord. And I trust you. I trust you with my heart and with my life. And I choose you, Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Simple. Welcome to the family. So, yeah, guys, in response to Jesus being our hope, let's worship together.
Beautiful. beautiful.
Pour your love. Sing it again. You're beautiful. Lord, pour out your love.
I see your face. You're beautiful.
Jesus, Jesus.
You're beautiful. So beautiful.
Jesus.
For a couple of moments where you are, just start loving Jesus with words of affection and adoration. Come, prayers of affection and adoration. Just tell him wherever you are right now. Just tell him he's beautiful. Lift your voice and tell him he's worthy. Say, you're beautiful, Lord. We love you. We love you, Jesus. You're so worth it all, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. You're beautiful, you're worth it all. Tell him he's wonderful. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, praise the one who
a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, Jesus, Jesus made it all to him I owe. And sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, he washed it white. It white as snow. 'Cause Jesus, to worship you I live. To worship you I live to worship you. Cause Jesus, to worship you I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. Cause Jesus, to worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. Cause Jesus, to worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you.
Oh, you're worthy, Jesus, you're worthy.
Cause Jesus, to worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. Only you. 'Cause Jesus, to worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you.
Praise,
praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the
to minister to you,
to worship you,
to love you.
to love you, Jesus.
I live to worship you.
I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, behold him. Behold him, the Lamb of God. Behold him, the King of glory. Behold him, Jesus, the beauty of heaven. Behold him. Look upon him. Look upon him. Be filled with wonder. Be filled with love. Look upon him. Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb. It's our desire in this hour that you would reveal the majesty and the beauty of your Son like in no other time in history, that we would truly see him for who he is. Oh Spirit, we ask and we pray right now that you would reveal Jesus, that you would pull back the curtain, lift the veil. We want to look upon the glory of God in the face of his Son. Jesus, it's you we worship. Jesus, it's you we love. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, it's yours. And we love you. We love you, and we want you, and we desire you. Yes. Behold him, the beautiful man. Behold the Lamb, Jesus. Could we just sing again to worship you, I live? And I want to encourage you as you sing this chorus to him, that you would just have him in view. Get the eyes of your heart on the man who sits upon the throne. Look upon him and pour out your heart as you worship him today. To worship you, I live. Oh, beloved, it moves his heart. It moves his heart. Will you love him? Just let's sing that chorus. Sing it just a couple of times. Just pour your love on him. To worship you, I live.
Cause Jesus, to worship you, I'll live. To worship you, I'll live to worship you.
Oh, we love you, Jesus.
Jesus, to worship you, I'll live. To worship you, I'll live to worship you.
There's nothing like your presence.
Jesus, to worship you, I'll live. To worship you, I'll live to worship you.
Just sing it just one more time. Love you, Jesus.
Cause Jesus, to worship you, I'll live. To worship you, I'll live to worship you.
We love you, Lord. It's such a privilege to come and minister to your heart. We are lovers of your presence. We desire you and we want you. Not to gain or get anything. Our reward is having you, is loving you. And we love you. And we want more of you. In Jesus' name. Amen.